You're ready.
All right. Hello. Welcome to Broadway Baby, the podcast taking one casual theater goer to full out fangirl. I'm your host and Broadway Baby, Alex Vasella, doing a mini-sode without my lovely Broadway parents, Jay Schmidt and Kimberly Cooper Schmidt. But I'm very happy to be joined by fan of the show, theater podcast spouse, Kelly Flynn. How are you, Kelly?
Hi, Alex. Okay. I'm great. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm very tired because I was up reading news till 2 a.m., but I'm very happy to see you.
Not a good activity to choose, no. So yeah. Your parents let you out. The Broadway parents let you out on your own.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like since we've been doing the show for 2 years, I feel like I'm in that, like, terrible twos phase where I can, like, do some things on my own. I need to make sure that nothing, like, is sharp. Like, there's still a baby-proofness. They're like, whoa, don't go right to...
No avant-garde theater yet. You're still in the mainstream right now.
Don't go right to Bring Back Birdie. Let's do Bye-Bye Birdie Birdie first. It's much safer. You know, I'm in that phase where it's been 2 years, so I'm starting to get a little bit of an attitude like, that show sucks. This one's better. Like, I'm
the toddler phase.
Exactly.
Yes, we're very familiar with the toddler phase in this house.
I like the description, quite a few kids. It sounds like, oh, how many kids you have? Quite a few.
it's only three, but it feels like more.
Have you been listening to any musicals to get you through?
Of course. Yeah, we're always listening to musicals in this house, as you would imagine. So let's see. Yeah, I've got some go-tos. I'm trying to think what I've done recently. Definitely some Hamilton for the Angry Days. You know, you got to bring that up. I have a couple of favorites. Some Sondheim Scrabble album. It's one of my favorites. And then whatever.
The Sondheim Scrabble album?
Yes, yes. One of the benefit concerts that they did with Sondheim, and I am going to get things wrong and I will be told about it later. So
it's great being a podcast spouse, isn't it?
It is. Well, I'm a music theater child and a podcast spouse. My mother was on stage through college and studied. So I grew up with it. I come by it honestly.
Okay, good. So explain to me what this Sondheim Scrabble is. It almost sounds like he went, I want to make my own version of chess. Like, it's Scrabble.
No, so I call it that. I'd have to look up the actual name. But the front cover is Scrabble tiles, so I've always called it the Scrabble album, even though it's actually a benefit concert featuring all kinds of stuff, and specifically Sondheim singing Anyone Can Whistle himself, which is one of my favorites of all time. He says the song is not autobiographical, but everyone else disagrees completely, so I guess he gets to have the final say being the author.
Yeah, I don't think anyone really believes it. It's like, hey, finishing the hat, that sounds pretty real, buddy.
it's a little close to home.
So what's your history with theater? Were you a theater?
I was a theater kid, definitely. I grew up doing theater, both straight plays and music theater through high school, and then kind of gave it up when I went to college, became an engineer, which is so similar, makes perfect sense. And then obviously met my husband, Patrick, in college. And now I've been theater adjacent for a very long time. Have managed to get out of performing for most of it. Though I've
made as if you were, as like you're going to be drafted and you're like, oh, I got bone spurs. I can't, be in Fiddler.
We've been in a few moments of last minute theater and or film disaster moments where I did get drafted to fill in moments. So I've had my moments, mostly off camera puppet work. It's my preferred method of joining in. A big on camera person anymore, but it's a lot of fun. I love being a part of the arts and certainly being a supporter of the arts. So
I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about this off camera puppet work, because I'm just going to be thinking about it for the rest of this.
When Patrick was in grad school for film, he had to make a film that was a film noir style, and it was about the Three Bears, and I played Baby Bear via puppet. I made the puppet and also voiced the puppet, so And I don't know if that lived on, if there's digital film of that, but I'm sure we'll find out after this is posted and he lets it back out in the world. But yes.
Okay. As a person who has made a web series and played an off-camera puppet, I just feel very seen right now. So I'm glad we have it.
It was definitely one of my shining roles. Definitely a high point in my film career, which is very short.
Speaking of shining roles, what plays were you in when you did theater? And you said it was musicals and great plays. Like, what were your favorite roles, or did you do a lot? Did you only do a few?
Yeah, I did it through most of high school. I worked both backstage and on stage. I did costuming, which I really enjoyed. And then I got to play a couple of really great roles. I was in Godspell. We did one of my least favorite shows still to date, which is the Shakespeare Two Gentlemen of Verona, but okay, with music, because we don't know why. Look that one up. You're not ready for that. Toddler, that is beyond toddler years.
It is definitely
beyond the toddler years.
Who wrote the music to that? It doesn't sound like it's anyone I know.
It was someone of note, and I'm going to get this wrong because that knowledge is not stored in my head. But it's something else. It's in the Shakespearean for all the dialogue, and then it transitions to basically rock music / contemporary music for the songs. So it's an interesting moment. It's a
joy. Whoa. Oh, they tried to Spring Awakening it.
Yeah, exactly. So it was it was actually Spring Awakening, Two Gentlemen of Verona did it. But yes. So that was an experience. And then my senior year, we got to do How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. And that was definitely my favorite. I played Smitty, who's the best friend. I often played the best friend. And it was a blast. It was a lot of fun. It's a great show. And it was a lot of fun to do.
Okay. Did you come from a theater family, or was it all just your passion? Or
I definitely came from a theater family. My mom studied music theater and performed. There's lots of stories of me as a baby in dressing rooms, apparently. Okay. I don't remember it. My dad's also an engineer, but did a lot of audio engineering on shows when he was younger. So definitely came to it very naturally. I certainly knew more show tunes than pop music for the first probably dozen years of my life.
Interesting. So you said your mom did it and your dad was more of a behind the scenes. So it's interesting that you ended up playing both, because you had two role models. Oh, this is the tech guy and this is the onstage person. And I understand both these worlds at least a little bit going in. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I was also, I played in the pits for a couple of shows. I was a piano player. Oh, so I got cool. to really experience it from all sides and greatly enjoyed every part of it. Certainly found performing was probably not my path, because I would get very nervous, which is ironic because people don't believe that now, but much preferred to be backstage or in the pit for those types of things.
So you felt less nervous, even though it's a performance, you felt less nervous in the pit than you did?
Oh God, yes, absolutely.
Like a little less nervous or like a lot less nervous?
A lot less nervous. Okay. Yeah, memorization was always tough for me. So definitely having music in front of you and everything made me feel much more comfortable than remembering on stage all the intricacies you have to remember. It's always been something that's impressed me because it's something I've never had an affinity for.
Gotcha. Yeah, I remember when I did those plays in December, one of the other ones I went to, there was a character who was reading a book and like wasn't given a great performance. And I felt like he's not really that good. And I didn't say it out loud, but someone goes, "Hey, you know, he's reading his lines out of the book and still messing up." I was like, "Wow, that's impressive. They're there and then he's fucking them up." Like, okay.
Well, reading is hard too sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when you're trying to emote, but like, wow, they're not a lot of excuse, buddy.
Definitely did a few straight plays in high school that ended up in circular routes because of people forgetting lines and going back to a previous scene. And then that often happens in high school theater, I think.
Yeah, just like trying to salvage the scene. It's always interesting to me that moment when people, because obviously you don't see it anywhere on Broadway because everyone's professionals, but like in that kind of lower level where everyone's still getting used to it or like doesn't think they need to try, that kind of in between where the people can still fuck around and find out, if uh-huh. you will, where it's like, you know, you're going to see like, oh, that person's going to be a real professional someday. Oh, this person it's not working out. And just watching the good person try to compensate for the person who's not trying as hard and like trying to steer them toward the point of the scene, whether or not they go is in the Lord's hands.
That is so true. That is so true. And you can see it is fun to watch. I actually had a fun experience because when I did How to Succeed in High School, one of the girls from my high school that was in it with me happened to be Rose Sesniak, who is now Rose Hemingway, who played opposite Daniel Radcliffe in the most recent Broadway production of How to Succeed. So it was a lot of fun because we got to go back and see her when she was in it on Broadway. And I think we were one of very few in the audience there to see someone other than Daniel Radcliffe, Harry Potter. But
sounds about right. Yeah.
The throngs of screaming girls was definitely an interesting experience. Not something you see on Broadway every day.
Yeah, I have a theory about Daniel Radcliffe that I think it was intentional, but either way, it's worked out this way, that he played one of the most famous character ever and became a super celebrity and then went, cool, I'm going to play every weird little part where I get to smoke and be a demon or something now. Like, he got the big one out of the way and then instantly took pains to not be typecast. So now he's in action movies with like guns nailed to his hands and he's just playing all sorts of weird stuff because he has the brand recognition to cash in on it now.
Absolutely. He can write his own check on that. So why not?
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Why not? Yeah, he was excellent. He worked his heart out on that one. You could see it. He was dancing up a storm and giving it everything on stage. It was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah. Do you think there's ever a chance he shows up in Harry Potter and the Cursed Child?
So I could see it happening, but I think the problem will be, and we experienced this with How to Succeed, when he shows up on stage, you have to add 20 minutes to the performance. Screaming of the fans. And it was like a Backstreet Boys concert mixed with theater, which you just don't see too often. Girls crying in the audience, and you're like, you don't really cry for How to Succeed. It's not really that kind of show.
Yeah, it's almost like his fame is a little bit of a liability.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it could be. I can't imagine experiencing that every night. I mean, I'm sure it's thrilling in one respect, but at the same time, it's like, can I just keep going, please?
Yeah.
Can I sing my song? I have lines.
So what's a show that we haven't covered on Broadway Baby that you're like dying to introduce me to?
Well, besides Two Gentlemen of Verona, which maybe we'll wait to your teen years, maybe age into it a little more. How to Succeed is actually one I think you'd really enjoy.
Okay.
And it's got a great book. It was Pulitzer Prize winning musical. So it's, it's a lot of fun. It's a little dated sometimes, as I'm sure you're finding some musicals may be. There's definitely some cuts that are made now.
I did go to see Carousel and great music. And when we get to Carousel, I will bring out all my beefs about Carousel. But yeah, so back to How to Succeed.
Yes, just keep dancing. Stop talking about that other stuff. There's a lot of inner office politics addressed, which I'd say is still very relevant today. But the concept of the secretary as a toy may need a little update. But, it was a different time. But it's a lot of fun.
When was the show written?
So I believe the show was based on a book in the 50s. And I believe the original production, I am going to cheat Wikipedia here, was in 1961. I prepared.
Okay. Yes.
So, but it's been revived twice since then, famously with Matthew Broderick in the 90s, and then again, obviously, with Daniel Radcliffe in the 2011 season.
What's it about?
It is about a window washer who reads a book that teaches him how to climb the corporate ladder with basically not doing nothing at all. Just his wit and his ability to manipulate the people around him.
Oh, okay. So it's like, as long as you smile and are vaguely Machiavellian, it'll be fine.
Yeah, and if you happen to get a little bit of dirt on your boss in the process, that'll probably also help.
I'm guessing that's the driving of the plot, or there's at least relevant somehow.
Yes, there's a bit. Hedy Lamarr is a tremendously fun character, but probably wouldn't hold up in the Me Too era quite as much.
Yeah, it's interesting how much, and I wonder if it's because musicals are such an earnest, like, confessional kind of art form for whoever is writing them, that they tend to be very of the moment and very, like, this is exactly what I am feeling in this moment in time, that I wonder if, not unlike, you know, comedies, maybe don't age quite as well as we would like because they're so, like, I'm going to say dated, but I don't mean it necessarily as bad.
Right.
They're sort of time stamped because they're so about zeitgeist, kind of, some of them.
Oh,
so,
absolutely.
You know, and you this watch show a comedy from the 70s.
Definitely.
And you're like, oh, that didn't age well. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's definitely a 60s, 70s comedy, and it's kind of a screwball comedy, so it's kind of fun. So it kind of works past that. But there definitely is some stuff that is aged, you know, the whole concept of the secretary marrying the person she works for and getting to go out to New Rochelle and the dream of that, I think. Happy to keep his dinner warm. So yeah, there's some, it sounds bad out of context. In the show, it's much more adorable, I think is the word we'll go with.
It kind of sounds like Happy or Mad Men.
It is very Mad Men. Yes, Mad Men's a great way to look at it. It's the same kind of era, same kind of politics. So it's a lot of fun. And the numbers have some real big, brassy, you know, all-out numbers, which is my favorite kind of Broadway. So it's a lot of fun to do. It's a lot of fun to see. And we'll just ignore some of the sexual politics and just move on with life because it's supposed to be fun. So
watch Daniel Radcliffe tap dance and don't think about it.
And life is good. You know, and if they throw those boxes across the stage and they hit an audience member, that's fine. That's just going to happen. You know, sometimes it happens.
That's just punk rock at that point.
Yeah, it goes back to the,
it's like SeaWorld. The first five rows may be nailed with a box.
Yeah, they did a great job when we saw it, but apparently it happened.
Yes.
There was a lot of choreography.
Kelly, thank you so much for being on.
You're so welcome, Alex. It was great to talk to you.
Thank you. Anything to plug before we go?
Go head over to the original cast and hear my Broadway podcast spouse talk about some original cast albums.
Yep, Patrick Flynn. I like to say, if the Cooper Schmidts are my Broadway parents, I have decided that Patrick is my Broadway uncle, which makes you my really cool Broadway aunt. So... thanks.
Excellent. You're so welcome.